So gratitude is an attitude. I have to give a shout out to another gratitude. I worked for a number of years in a camp called Camp Morashah. And in that camp, the director, Jeremy Joseph, who I was just in touch with the other day, telling him thank you for the title, he had coined this term, at least within camp, for the children to be able to understand that gratitude is not just a one-off thing. Saying thank you is just not a chore, but it's part and parcel of who we are. And therefore, I felt so incumbent upon ourselves this week, Thanksgiving around the corner, to really understand before Thanksgiving, really what is Hakarat Tov, what is saying gratitude, what is having gratitude, and how does this impact our lives? So I want to take you actually to this week's Parsha. It just works out so nicely. This week's Parsha is also the week of Thanksgiving, not a coincidence at all. Vatar o vatilid ben vatomar apam odas Hashem al kein karashmo Yehuda vatamod miledes. Leah, having Yehuda, finally said, "Apam odas Hashem, this time I'm going to thank Hashem. This time I'm going to thank Hashem." What, there wasn't time to thank Hashem beforehand? But just in case you were wondering if that was true, the Gemara in Gemara Brachos in source number 3, I know that we've only seen 2 sources so far, it counts the titles as a source. So just when you see the large number of sources at the end, just cut off all the titles and you'll see that it's not too many. So it says the Gemara in Brachos like this, Amar Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Shum Bar Yochai, and Rabbi Yochanan is going to tell us something. That there are 2 different individuals, actually I cut out a couple, there are a number of individuals in this Gemara and Gemara Brachos, that say something for the first time ever. For the first time ever. What are we talking about? From the moment that God created the entire world. I'm over here if you'd like to follow along. Lo haya adam shekaru l'kadosh baruch hu adon. Never was God called an adon. Was he called the master? The master. We say it all the time. Baruch atah. Adon. Right? We're not going to say the rest of it, but Adon is part and parcel of the word that we say about HaKadosh Baruch all the time. We call God our master. So what do you mean there was a time when someone didn't call God the master? Yeah. Before Avraham. Adshaba Avraham v'karu Adon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was then called Adon for the first time, God for the first time in creation since the creation of the world. Abraham calls God the master. And we know this because we know the story of Abraham. Abraham tells a story. What's the story of Abraham from the generations all the way from Adam and Noah, right? We have 10 generations of Adam and Noah, and then another 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. In those initial 20 generations, somehow the humanity forgot about God. And it comes to a point where everyone's serving idols. And Abraham has to refine HaKadosh Baruch Hu, refine God as the master of the universe. No, it's not that idol that his father was worshiping or his father said in his father's store. No, it's God. And he's the master. So God is called Adon in that context. But then a couple of lines down in this Gemara, Leah is credited with the first time something else happens. You might have guessed it based on the topic of the shir and based on what the pasuk we just read. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan says the name Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai again. Miyom Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu Es HaOlamo. From the moment that Kadosh Baruch Hu, that God created the world, His world, Lo Haya Adam Shehoda La Kadosh Baruch Hu. There was never a moment in which anyone thanked God. Ad Shebas Leah VeHodata. Until Leah came around and thanked God. Shemar Apam Odeas Hashem. Wow. Wow, think about all the generations, all the personalities that we know. We started Bereshit not too long ago, from the creation of the world all the way until this week's Parsha, and not even in the beginning of this week's Parsha, after having 3 other children. Leah now finally says, Apam Odas Hashem. But what about everybody else? What about everybody else? What's going on in this puzzle? So Rashi tells us on this Gemara, Apam Odas Hashem, Yaakov was going to have 12 shvatim. V'lo arba nashim. And he, Yaakov, has how many wives? 4 wives. Ben Revi, hodit, what? Al chelko she'ala Yosef min ha'cheshbon ha'magiyala. Okay, listen, we all know math. Math is like this. I have 12 children that we know we're going to have. The Ruach HaKodesh, Yaakov's going to have 12 children. And I have 4 wives. So what are we supposed to do? Each one of them is supposed to have 3 of those sons. Dina on top of that, right? But each of us must have three of the sons. The moment Leah has a fourth son, Leah now has a larger portion of the pie. Leah has a larger portion of the pie. Says Rashi, the reason why right now is a time that Leah felt it incumbent upon herself to say thank you, according to Rashi right now, is because this meant she was had a larger portion of Klal Yisrael in her hands, from her children. Yehuda represented the beginning. And by the way, Yehuda's not the end. Right? She has others as well. But this is the moment when she realizes she had majority. She had a majority stake. And so because of that, she thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thanks God right then and there. Wow. And I think this is actually something that many of us probably can connect to. When something great, grandiose happens in our lives, and something magical, something remarkable happens in our lives, it's very easy to say thank you. Very easy to say thank you when something is drastically different. When I have the majority stake in something, okay, who do I say thank you to? When I get honored at a dinner, oh my gosh, the whole long list of the thank yous, right? A bar mitzvah boy, my gosh, you know, it's hard enough that the bar mitzvah boy needs to remember the whole parsha and then the speech on top of it, but also all the thank yous. So many thank yous. Why? Because at those moments, as our moments in life, those are key critical times in life. And so, of course, I say thank you. But perhaps there's something deeper here as well. So, Yecheskel and Nodav Yehuda says the following idea, which I think is fascinating. I'm just going to bring it up so that you could see, I think, the whole thing here, or at least most of it. Yeah, can you see? Everyone can see the slach here? So, he says like this. What happens when we make a bracha? What happens when we make a bracha? So there are two psukim when we make a bracha. This is a Gemara in Alamed Hey Alamed Aleph. Rabbi Levi Rami Iksiv LaShem Haaretz Umlawa Uksiv Haaretz Asan Lei Adam. We have two conflicting psukim. We have two conflicting verses. One verse says that the entire world, right, LaShem Haaretz Umlawa, everything in this world belongs to God. But then we have another verse that says Haaretz Asan Lei Adam. Shemayim Shemayim LaShem. God has the skies, but we Haaretz Asan Lei Adam. We have the land. So which one is it? Is it LaHashem Ha'aretz Umlawa, that does God have the land and everything is in it? Or do we have it? And the answer is, Kan Koden Bracha V'Kan La'acha Bracha. One is before a bracha, one is after a bracha. Before I make a bracha on a food that I'm going to eat, on a smell that I'm going to smell, before I make that bracha, it belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Only afterwards does the bracha allow it to become ours. There is a transition, or at least a permission that takes place in that moment where the bracha allows it to now become ours. So what does it have to do with the Gemara about Leah? So the Tzlach points out something remarkably fine-tuned. I just want to take you back to the Gemara, and maybe you'll see it yourselves. Take a look at these two portions of the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, everyone could see? Yeah, I'll zoom in a little bit more. Maybe it'll be a little easier. Actually, maybe that actually is not going to be easier. We won't zoom in because I don't want it to be blocked off. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochai says the following: Miyom shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu es ha olam. A couple of lines later, same people. It's not like it's a different person. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochai says Miyom shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu es olam mo. A slight difference, but the Rabbi Cheskel Nanda points out the Slach, the Nodav Yehuda points out the following idea. He says, when we're talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu Baro Es HaOlam, with the moment that God created the world, that's when Avram comes along and then teaches us Adam. But when it says Olamo, Lo Haya Adam Shehod El Kadosh Baruch Hu, no one thanked God. But what's happening here? So it says in Slach something fascinating. Take a look here. V'nira Netiyah Todah Davar. When we say thank you for something, Ukamo Bracha Shemivarchin Ala Davar. It's just like making a bracha. Just like making a bracha. Very often we think about making a bracha as asking for permission. God, I see a beautiful apple in front of me. I would like to eat this apple. I know it belongs to you. Can I eat it? I'm going to make a blessing. And then I get granted permission to eat the apple that belongs to you. But Hakara Tov is not usually thought of that way. I say thank you because I owe you something. Right? Rabbi Shur, you invited me to come give this shir. I thank you for that. So when I say thank you, right, I check off the box. I'm good. I'm done. No, there's a transition that takes place. There's a transition just like with brachot. V'hayahu Lama writes, take a look here. This is incredible. Initially, before Leah ever said thank you, the world belonged entirely to whom? To God. Olamo. Why? Before the concept of gratitude, everything belonged to God. Just like before making a blessing, everything belongs to God. When Leah comes along and makes a massive chiddush in the world, a massive new idea, to say thank you to God, then the world becomes ours. In other words, gratitude is not just something that I check off the box. It's not only meant for major, major occasions, as we pointed out with Rashi saying that Leah only said thank you when she realized she had the fourth of 12 sons, making her the majority stakeholder. No, it is transformative in our perception of the world. Every component of the world, just like pre-making a bracha, I would never put a piece of food in my mouth before making a bracha. So then we should also question, I would never do anything in this world without saying thank you to God. In fact, I heard an incredible idea recently that someone was saying in front of a bunch of teens, and they said the following. They said, what would happen if tomorrow you woke up and the only thing you had were the things you said thank you for yesterday? I'll say it again. What would happen if tomorrow you woke up in the morning and the only thing you had, only things you had at all, were the things you said thank you for yesterday? Remarkable. God doesn't act that way. But perhaps with this understanding of the tzlach, the whole world really is in God's hands. And when he provides for us, it's not only incumbent upon us to ask permission before using it, but it's also critical that we say thank you in the process of receiving it. Thank you, God, for this apple and for everything else. I want to take you, though, to something that's puzzling about this Gemara. And the Ksav Sofer over here on this Gemara, actually, Ksav Sofer in Parshas Vayetze brings this down based on the Pasuk. But I want to bring it because he's discussing this Gemara. This I'm going to try to zoom in a little bit so you can see a little better. The Ksav Sofer says something incredible. He says, I don't understand this Gemara at all. I don't know if you had a puzzling question about this Gemara. No one said thank you to God before Leah. No one. I mean, there are some important people that came before Leah. Is it possible they didn't say thank you? V'tutamua, and it's puzzling. V'chya avos lo hodu v'ashem ala nisim sh'asav lachem? Did the avos not say thank you to God for the nisim that happened to them? For the miracles? Hallo, hikrivu karbanos v'shivchu v'ashem? Didn't they bring karbanos to Hashem to say thank you? So what's going on here? So the Ksav Sofer brings two different distinct answers. Each of them, I think, is valuable when we think about the idea of Hakara Tov, of saying thank you, and should be influential as we go into the upcoming week of Thanksgiving, and really every single day of our lives when we think about Hakara Tov. The first answer is like this: V'kavanatam retzuya bazeh ki be'emet tzarech adam lahotu b'chol yom v'yom ala tov she'oso ima. Every day we need to say thank you for the things that God has given us. For example, the idea that I just listed. That what? If I only have the things tomorrow, then I say thank you for today. We have to say thank you every single day. God does b'chol yom v'yom asimonu. He does so many incredible things for us. B'chol esu b'chol shah, every moment. And think about modim, anachdulach. We literally say this at the very end. Right? Every second, every minute of the day is a blessing from God. So says Leah to herself, I don't understand. Should I really only say thank you? Should I say thank you now on this one experience? Meaning she's asking the question we asked. Right now is when I'm going to say thank you. It's not saying that God, no one said thank you beforehand to God. But I could only just say thank you once? Really? That's what I'm going to do? I just skipped a couple of lines just in case you were wondering. But I actually want to take you back one line. I'm sorry. We have a constant obligation to thank God, but when it's a nes, we have an obligation that goes even further. Says the first idea in the Ksav Sofer, and then I'll bring you to the second idea. The first idea, and we're going to say it outside right now, is Leah said thank you for every single time that she had a child. And everyone has been saying thank you to God for all the nisim that he has done for them. But you know what's remarkable about this experience? Leah names her son in the form of a thank you. In other words, it's like a dalet ne'miat ha'omed moment. Know who you're standing in front of moment. If Yehuda is constantly running around, Yehuda, come here, Yehuda. It is on her mind and her lips to say thank you on a constant basis. By naming her son thank you, it becomes incumbent upon her to say thank you on a daily basis. Similar to when we say, Moda ani lefanecha, melechai bechayam, on a daily basis. Moda manachnu lach. Those are incumbent upon us to say on a daily basis. Leah says, Hapam odeh Hashem. This is the first idea of the Ksav Sofer. He asks a question. Leah's not saying, Hapam odeh Hashem. Now, the first time I'm going to say thank you to Hashem. No. Hapam? Only once? Odeh Hashem, says the Ksav Sofer. Impossible. What do I need to do? I need to say thank you every single day. That's answer number one. The second answer on the bottom here is, Avram Yitzchak Hodu V'Shiv Kula Hashem. Of course, Avram Yitzchak said thank you to Hashem. Mefurash. Aval Lachem Nasu Nisim Shelo B'Teva. Everything that they were doing that happened for them, those were Nisim Shelo B'Teva. When they had children, unfortunately, Sarah was unable to have children until it was the portion of an ace. And Rivka, the same thing. These became Nisim. They were miraculous. So of course they said thank you. Again, as we said earlier, when it comes to miracles, it's very easy to say thank you. What Leah was mechadesh, what Leah was able to bring down was that even in the form of teva, even a natural experience of needing to say thank you is incumbent upon us to say thank you. So it says the Ksav Sofer two ideas in this Gemara. The first one is that it wasn't the first time anyone said thank you. It was that Leah said, I'm only going to say thank you once. No such thing. I'll say thank you every day when I call this kid's name. I'm going to remember this saying thank you every time I call the kid's name. That's one. And answer number two is that Avram and Yitzchak, of course, they said thank you. And Sarah and Rivka, of course, they said thank you. But why is Leah the one that's credited with saying thank you? Because she takes thank you and gratitude to a whole new plane. It's not only in the form of miracles and miraculous nature that I'm going to then say thank you. No, it was specifically in the area of natural occurrences. This is her fourth child. It's clear that Leah is capable of having children. And so at this moment, she says, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even on that which is Teva. So I want to read for you something, and I want to say thank you to Dr. Jacob J. Schachter. Again, Akar Zatov right now. And in general, whenever you quote anybody, it's an opportunity to say thank you. Rabbi Schachter shared with me this idea from Robert A. Emden in his book, basically from his book. This is an excerpt from his book, Thanks, How Practicing Gratitude Can Make You Happier. So in here, I found this to be fascinating. And again, a big thank you to Rabbi Schachter for sharing this Makor with me and many other Makorot as well. So here he explains, first, gratitude is the acknowledgement of good in one's life. Very important. Hakarat HaTov is not only saying thank you, it's recognizing the thank you. It's recognizing the good. Hakarat means to recognize. I recognize someone else. I recognize the fact that someone did something for me. But there he says is the second idea. Second, gratitude is recognizing that the source of this goodness lie at least partially outside of the self. And this is perhaps the hardest thing about saying thank you. The object of gratitude is other directed. One can be grateful to other people, to God, to animals, but never to oneself. I found this to be a fascinating insight. Right? A person can be angry at himself, pleased with herself, proud of himself, or feel guilty about doing wrong. But it would be bizarre to say thank you. I'm sorry, that person feels grateful to herself. Even if you bought yourself a lavish dinner, as I am inclined to do when I order room service, says Dr. Emdens, it would be peculiar if I were to give thanks to myself. Thanks are directed outward to the giver of gifts. And this is such an important component of thank you. Thanks is a karato, recognizing the good. But the second component part of thank you, of thanks, saying thank you or gratitude, is recognizing that that comes from elsewhere, that I am not capable of doing everything on my own, that there are others involved in my life that make a difference to me, that make a difference in my day-to-day experiences. And that's the idea. Saying thank you, recognizing there are other forces at play, whether it's God, whether it's other people, whether it's even inanimate objects, as we'll see in a moment, that what? That I say thank you to, I have a kara tov for, because I recognize I can't do this by myself. I can't. I can't do it by myself. None of us can. We are all part of a larger community. We're all part of this community right here on Zoom. And while it may feel like people are separated, et cetera, again, the ability to be able to have a shiur like this in this fashion, a big thank you again to CJF. This is a community. And that comes from outside of ourselves. Each of us bring another piece to the puzzle. And that's the value added right now. So I want to start just assessing a number of different areas of gratitude that I think will be helpful for us to recognize. And we'll start from the least I don't want to say significant, but kind of maybe perhaps the least direct, something about inanimate objects. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know this from the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was saved when he was put into the Yar, he was put into the Nile River, and he was saved. What was he saved by? So we see this in a number of forms. Rashi brings it down here, but it's really all from Shmos Rabbah, so I'll show you the three examples. You may remember this as being the beginning of the 10 plagues, that God says to Moshe, go speak to Aaron to lift his matah, his staff, on all the different forms of water, and they're going to become dam. And there's going to be dam in every single area of Mitzrayim. And more el Aharon, say to Aharon. What does say to Aharon? Why not do it yourself? The river had protected Moshe when he was thrown into it. And what? And we're going to see in a minute. Aharon was the chosen enforcer, so to speak, of these first three makot, the first three plagues. Why? Because Moshe could not bring it upon himself, and God didn't want him to either. God says, Emor al Aaron, go speak to Aaron, your brother. Because Moshe could not be the one to cause the water to turn into blood, couldn't be the one to bring the tzardaim, to bring the frogs, couldn't be the one, and we'll see there's another level as well, we'll see in 1 second. But in this first experience of Moshe when he was a baby, even when it comes to inanimate objects, water in this case, we can't be the ones to say, I'm not interested in saying Hakara Tova and having gratitude. Now you may wonder, what is the value of saying thank you to a source of water? And perhaps it's not about who receives the thank you, but rather the one who is giving the thank you. We become different people, I guess is my argument, when we are the ones giving the thanks. For example, the Rambam says this when it comes to giving tzedakah. If you had $100 to give to tzedakah, is it better to give that $100 to one person or 100 single dollar bills to 100 people? Which would be better? So some people might say, no, give $100 to one person. Why? Because it becomes much more of an impactful gift to that individual. $100 could really, really help them get back on their feet. $1 to 100 people, what's that going to do? But says the Rambam, no, give the $1 to 100 different people. Why? Because it creates and enforces and fortifies the midah of giving, of becoming a notain, of someone who gives. If I give 100 times, I have now accomplished the act of giving 100 times. And because I am the one that's a giver, I am now becoming a baal notain, someone who gives. The same with Hakara Tov, I would like to argue when it comes to inanimate objects. It's not for the water itself, but rather for Moshe. God is teaching Moshe an incredible lesson. Because Baruch Hu says, Emor el Aaron, give this Aaron. It has to happen. The water needs to turn to blood, but not at your hands. The water saved you. And what would it mean about you? What would it say about you if you were willing to, at that moment, kafu tova, you're just willing to push away and ignore the good that was done to you? That would impact you as a person. Whereas if you're the type of person who says, sure, I'll hand this off to someone else will take on this responsibility because I can't possibly be the one to bring this about on the water, what does that say about me as well? We see it again when it comes to the Tzfardim, and Mora Aaron Ba'alat Tzfardim Al-Aretz Mitzrayim. And again, the Medrash here again says, why did it say that? I'm Tan Chum, I'm Rav Kosh Baruch, L'moshe, I'm Imayim, Shemrucho, Mishah, Shemrucho, Lior, Lo Yilkal Yodecho, you can't be the one to cause it to have damage. And the same thing, and this is another example, is not only when he was thrown into the water, but what happens here, Amar Aaron in the third plague, today it's Malchava Hakas Afar Al Aret Vaya the Kinim. It's going to turn him into the Kinim. The Chol Aret Mitzrayim. Rashi over here it says Lahaya Afar Kedaylu Kol Eidei Moshe. Why the Fisha Hakin? What happened? The Fisha Hakin Allah Kisheharav Es Hamitzri. Moshe killed that Mitzri who was attacking the Jew. What happened immediately after? The ground swallowed up that Mitzri, right? Vayit Menehu Bechol. Again, another example of Moshe being protected by inanimate objects. In that situation, it was the ground that swallowed up the Mitzri. How can Moshe be the one to cause the ground to then become punished, so to speak, or to have to deal with the Kinim? No way. It won't be good for Moshe's character or Moshe's ability to be a leader. Because ultimately, it's incumbent upon us to say thank you and to have a hakara tov, even to inanimate objects. So what happens when someone doesn't have a Kavana Tov? Take a fast forward in the story of, or actually a fast forward from where we are right now in the Torah, and a rewind from the portions of the Torah that we were just reading. Right? What happens? Yosef saves the day. Yosef saves all of Mitzrayim, all the storehouses, and understands. But remember, when Yosef was brought into Paro's palace to interpret the dreams, what does Yosef say? It's not me, who is it? Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is God, Hashem. Shelo yadas Yosef, a new melech hadash that doesn't know Yosef. Now, this can be interpreted that this is really a new king that doesn't know Yosef. But Rabbi Yonasan Sachs points out something incredible. He says, really? A new king came into Mitzrayim and doesn't know Egyptian history well enough that the last generation was saved entirely by one man whose name was Yosef? Really, is that possible? Even if it's a new king, you want to say it's a different king who just ignored Yosef? Okay, we can understand that. But this is a guy who didn't even want to know Yosef. Ashalo Yiratzalot Ladat Yosef. He doesn't want to know Yosef. Why? Because of course he has to know his history. It's not even so far along in the past. He knows Yosef just saved the entirety of Egypt. Maybe perhaps the Paro that comes in at this point, either it's the same Paro who's just ignoring Yosef, doesn't want to know Yosef, or it's a new Paro again who's ignoring Yosef, regardless how you look at it. A new leaf for a Paro, a new leaf for a leader in Mitzrayim in Egypt, requires, needs an ignorance about Yosef. Why? Because he's the savior. How could a power either take on a new leader, new role of leadership or something, when there's another body here, the second in command from the last power, that what? That is still held over, and he really was the one that saved the day. We ignore that guy. We're not interested in him anymore. He saved the day? Okay, but we're done with him. So what happens here? Look at the Medrash Lekach Tov. Incredible idea. Kemosh lo yada es Yosef. He didn't know Yosef. Same way he didn't know Yosef, Shara Yosef, Abi as a Kesef, Besa Paro. He brought all the money into Paro's house. V'kana kolad mas Mitzrayim, the Paro. And he bought all of the plots of land in Mitzrayim for Paro. V'tiken aleim mas, and he created the tax. Shenemer, Atat and Chamish is the Paro, and he got 1/5 of all the inventory. Not only did he get all the land, and he got the money, but he also brought in a tax for Paro. L'fika chasev, asher lo yodos Yosef. That's why he needed to say, asher lo yodos Yosef. He didn't know Yosef. Kishem shekafer b'Yosef, the same way he doesn't know Yosef. He also ignores God who created everything. How do you know that? Shari Omar Lo Yosef Esasher Lo Kim Asai Gid the Paro, Behu Amar Lo Yadati Esasher. If this is a new Melech, a new Paro, he doesn't know Yosef, he ignores Yosef, he has an ignorance about Yosef. Let's remember, when Yosef first shows up, what does he say? Everything I'm doing is from where? From God. As Asher Elokimo said, God is doing all this. It's not me. It's God. I'm just listening to God. Yosef said that. And then when Moshe shows up and says, send my people, we're going to go and serve God, he's like, who is this? Who is this God of yours? Fascinating point of the Medrash. At the moment someone forgets, if you forget the Hakaras HaTov of an individual, of a person, in this case, Paro forgot Yosef. and ignored the Hakarat Hatov for Yosef, what happens now? Also forget the Hakarat Hatov HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see here, and this is why I entitled this, lack of gratitude impacts both realms. If I forget gratitude, if I lack gratitude to another person, it's going to influence my gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what goes the other direction? Take a look at this mitzvah in Sefer HaChinuch, the 33rd mitzvah in Sefer HaChinuch, the mitzvah of the Kaved Av Va'Em, to give Kibud Av Va'Em, to give honor to our parents. Why? Misharshei mitzvah zo. What's the shoresh of the mitzvah? And Sefer HaChinuch always points out what the shoresh, the root of the mitzvah is. A person needs to give to say thank you, to recognize the good that someone else has done for you. And you can't ignore this because that's a terrible midah. And it's disgusting. In front of both God and what? And people. If you think about it for a second, our parents are the reason that we're here in the first place. Thank you to our parents. The only reason we're here in the first place. And they deserve all of the gratitude, therefore. Why? Because they're the reason we're here. They brought us into this world. And we were little children, we didn't have no idea what our parents had done for us. Right? It's always when a new parent has a little child and like they're dealing with the sleepless nights and the diapers and the this and the that, and they're blessed to have the child. And they realize, oh my gosh, mom, dad, I had no idea what you dealt with for me. Thank you now in retrospect. I had no idea. But what is this also intended to accomplish? The same way when Paro forgot gratitude, it impacted his ability to understand who God was. So too, when we do have gratitude, influences our ability to understand who God is. When we establish this midah in ourselves, it's going to ultimately rise up to say thank you to God as well. Because God is the source for everything, all the way going back to Adam HaRishon. So if we have a Hakarat Hatov to our parents, because that's the reason we're here in the first place, of course, we're going to have a Hakarat Hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what we're trying to argue again is the same way with inanimate objects, our essential experience of Hakarat Hatov is not for the receiver, but rather for us to become Baalei Hakarat Hatov, people that recognize the good. And if that's the case, when we ignore the good, it influences how we deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Paro. But when we have Hakarat Hatov on people, it influences our ability to have Hakarat Hatov for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And this midah goes even further. The Michtam Eliyahu points out the same idea when it comes to the first of the Aseret Adim. Believe in me, I'm your God. And what did I do for you? I took you out of Mitzrayim. We're just talking about Mitzrayim. I took you out of there. Karato. Why did that say Mibet Avadim? Become Hosif Mibet Avadim. It influences our ability to have a Karato. But he explains here in an Achadut inside right now, but again, you're more than welcome. I'll share in the chat the link here for you to be able to see. It is on page 50 in the first portion of the Michtam Eliyahu of Dessler. He says, Hakarat Hatov is not something you borrow from someone else. It's not a midah that you could borrow from someone else or that you could absorb from someone else. No, it requires a person to recognize, like we saw earlier, to recognize the goodness in our lives and the fact that it comes from outside of us. So what does that mean? It means that if I have a Hakarat Hatov for other people, right? He's explaining this idea from Eliezer, right? Take a look here. The Basof Kofar Tovas, or Kol HaKofar Tovas Shel Chaveiro. If I forget one person's Tova to me, the Basof Kofar Tovas Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same with Paro. Anytime I forget a Tova from someone else and I don't say thank you to them, I don't have gratitude to a person, it's going to influence my ability to have a Hakarat Hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. As we pointed out with Paro. And we pointed out the parallel opposite when it comes to Kibud Av Va'Em. That our ability to have a Hakarat Hatov actually influences our ability to have a Hakarat Hatov for Kadosh Baruch Hu. But what does this come down to? Says Rav Dessler, it's all because, as we've been pointing out this entire time, that it influences our ability to become Baalei Hakarat Hatov. We are people of gratitude. Thanksgiving is not one day, it becomes our entire lives. We give thanks. And it's important to have one day in which we focus on that. But we should focus on it every day. B'chol yom v'yom, as the Ksav Sofer pointed out from Leah. Every day. And therefore, she named her son Hakarat Hatov. Because that's what she brought about. I'm going to say thank you God once? One day of Thanksgiving? No way. Every day. Modem anachdolach. Modem ani lefanecha. on a constant basis. There's so many beautiful ideas here. I'm going to skip a couple of them, if that's okay. One idea here that I'm going to focus on for a second is the reason why when we're in davening and the shulach tzibur, the shat says modim, says modim out loud, and yet everybody else in the crowd also says modim, unlike the rest of the Shemona Esrei, everything else, it's enough for the chazan to say. Why do we feel the need to say modim as well? Because ultimately it says that Rudraham, that what? That it's upon us, every single one of us, has to say thank you for ourselves. We can't rely it on someone else to say thank you. It's important for us to say thank you for ourselves. But I want to leave you with one last thought, an incredible, incredible thought. We have 3 minutes, and this to me is really the source of the Thanksgiving feast, so to speak. You have to say Thanksgiving feast, Me'atara Minayan, that people have a whole meal with their friend, with their children, whether it's on Thursday night, whether it's on Friday night for Shabbos, whenever it happens. When does Hakaras HaTov take place? Hakaras HaTov takes place around other people. And I want to show it to you in this way. Here it is. Take a look in Vayikra. There is a karban called Karban Todah. The Karban Todah was brought saying thank you for the incredible things the Kadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Take a look at Rashi here. This is the Pesukim of Karban Todah. We'll come back to it in a second. Imal davar hoda neis shenasalo. There's a neis. He's going, Yor de'ayam, v'holchim in baros. V'chavushi beis asurim, v'cholish nisarpet. Shehein tzrichim lahodos. These are all the examples, if you recognize them, that we say, bench gomel on. Right? The people will bench gomel. If they were very sick and they got better, if they were in jail and they got out. Talking about Yosef coming out of jail, yeah. It all connects to Holchei Midbaros. People go on a long journey in the Midbar, in the desert. There's so many examples of where people, right? Again, someone gets in a car crash, and some people do it when they go on a big flight. They say Bench Gomel. Why? Because we have to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all these experiences. So we bring a Karban Todah. This is the type of experience where we go above and beyond our typical thank yous. Like the original Rashi that told us that the reason Leah said thank you now is because she realized she had a bigger portion of the pie. Sometimes we have to go above and beyond a regular thank you. We bring a Karban Todah. And in that context, Ima HaTodah Yakrivenu, V'yakriv al Zevach HaTodah, Chalos, Matzos, Pelulo, Shter Shem, V'rikiki Matzos, Peshuchim HaShem, V'solos, right? How many, right? Suez Merkeves, V'chalos, Pelulos, V'shem, how many, Chalos Lechem, Chameitz, Yakriv Kamar HaSov, how many different loaves of bread can one possibly think of? They're all brought with the Karban Todah. And not only that, but it needs to be done. Besides that, Todah Shlamav, in addition to the breads, all the actual korban itself, the Yom Korbano Yeyachel, it needs to be eaten on the day of. Look, I need to make my boker. Can't leave it till the next day. What? All of that? I'm going to finish in one day? Impossible. So think back to another example of a korban that has to be done on one day. Really, even not one day, one night, the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach has to be done until Chatzos. Karban Pesach is the shortest amount of time to finish a Karban. Why does it have to be done until Chatzos? How am I supposed to finish a whole lamb by Chatzos? What am I supposed to do? You know why? You invite other people to join in the Karban Pesach. Why? Because that's a Karban HaTov on a national level. That's a saying, thank you to God for saving us on a national level. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Why? Asher Otzeicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, because I took you out of Mitzrayim. It's fundamental to our entire national experience. But on an individual level, the same holds true. You bring a Karban Todah, says the Sfarno, Mikol Makom, Minei HaMitzvos, Rabos HaLav, Ribos HaLechem. Why have so much lechem? Yisparsem Hanes Le'ochlim Rabim. When you have a miracle that happens to you, you're saying thank you for an experience that you want to go above and beyond. You need to be a Pirsum Hanes. Anyone recognize those words? That's coming from Chanukah. We have Pirsum Hanes right around the corner. It's exactly what we do on Chanukah. We have to, if you have an individual experience, say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about a nes that took place to you. Yisparsem Hanes. Say thank you and do it in a Pirsum. Le'oichlim Rabim, to invite so many other people to come and eat with you. Because you can't finish this Karban by yourself. It's impossible. The Netziv points out the same idea. You can't finish this Karban. It's intentional that way. Not so you should overeat Chas V'Shalom. But that you feel that you need to invite others to join in the experience as well. Because the Karas HaTov can't remain by ourselves. We say it out loud, modim anachnu lach, as a whole community for ourselves. And when we go to the extreme of bringing a Karban Toda, a Thanksgiving offering that needs others to join. And again, this is only one day to be able to bring this Karban. Why? Because of the fact that we need other people to join in this experience. So very quickly, just a quick summary and then we're going to close. We pointed out that this week's Parsha is the source of the whole idea of gratitude in general, at least according to many, that Leah says thank you for the first time and names her child thank you. And we pointed out on one level that maybe that's because it was an extreme moment in her life. She got four portions of the pie. That means she went above and beyond the higher level. Sometimes those are easier to say thank you. But others have pointed out, that Slav pointed out, that this is our way of analyzing the entire world. The same way we make brachos for everything, we say thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for everything, because everything in our lives, b'chol yom v'yom, is important to say thank you. And the Ksav Sofer brings that home even further, and he says, no, you're reading the pasuk wrong. You need to read it as a question. I'm going to say thank you, what? Impossible. I'm naming my kid thank you, because I need it to be a repetitive experience for me. Right? He says the second idea that points out that it's different than the regular nisim, that it's actually something b'teva. We just say thank you for the things that are natural and things that are for Nisan. As we point out later on in this year as well, the idea of bringing a Karban Toda is only for the miraculous. And we pointed out that gratitude is a combination of understanding that there are goodness in my life and that it's coming from other places. And that could be inanimate objects we see with Moshe Rabbeinu and the Yar or the ground where Aaron needed to be the one to do it. And it's not because of the Yor, and it's not because of the ground. It's because of Moshe needing to become a Baal HaKaras HaTov, a person who has HaKaras HaTov, does not ignore even from inanimate objects. And we pointed out that just like Paro ignored the HaKaras HaTov of Yosef, it impacted his ability to recognize God. So too, the opposite holds true. When we do have a HaKaras HaTov for other people, it influences our ability to have a HaKaras HaTov for God. It says in the Shoshosh Mitzvah, in the Chinuch, that when it comes to a HaKaras HaTov or Kibbutz of Aim, we recognize our parents' value in our lives, and the fact that they put us in this place, literally they brought us into this world, and it makes our understanding of God's role that much more significant. It influences in that direction as well. And we pointed out the Mida is so important. And again, we didn't read this directly, but we point out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am the Lord your God. I took you out of Mitzrayim. It's intentional that way. It's God says, I took you out of there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu belongs to our belief and faith with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a Mida that doesn't only influence us between Adam and Chaveiro, but Adam and Makom as well. We skip this idea from the Aron Kadar. I encourage you to read it. It has to do with Avram buying the plot of land from Ephron that he didn't want to buy from Ephron, because then if he got it as a gift, he wanted to buy it, I'm sorry, because if he got it as a gift, then he would have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Ephron, and he didn't want to have to do that. So he said, I'm going to buy it so I don't have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because you know why? Even when we don't want to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says this idea from Aaron Kotler, that what? It is automatic. When we have a gift from somebody, it should become something that's so automatic. For Avram, even though he didn't want to say thank you, you know what? He could have just avoided Ephraim for the rest of his life. No. For Avram, he knew, I would have to say thank you because I'm a Baal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why he avoided getting it as a gift. He needed to buy it directly. But you need to say it for yourself, as the Avudram says. That's why we say modim. And as we pointed out, the Karban Toda is so much food with such minimal amount of time to be able to eat it. Not to fress, but rather the opposite, that I need to invite others. And in a time like this, in a year like this, in a year that's as crazy as this, the opportunity to find a way to say thank you. Say thank you, it could be over Zoom, a thank you over a phone call, a thank you in person, whatever the experience is, we can say thank you, because the more that we are able not only to say thank you, but to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize the good, whether it's inanimate objects or inanimate objects, whether it's God or people, it's going to influence us entirely. Hopefully that's what you've seen today, is that it's not only one portion. You cannot compartmentalize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It influences you as an entire person and all the relationships you have, whether with inanimate objects or people or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mirtz Hashem. We should all be Zocha this week, specifically from Leah, learning from Leah, but also this week because of Thanksgiving. I don't think it's a coincidence at all that we should be able to learn from this experience to be able to become better Baalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with that, I will say thank you to each and every one of you for staying on and to learn together today.